Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good day, good week, good month, good year to everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm here to present yet another episode of Alive to Love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS. Bait and switch, or whatever else you want to attribute BS to. We cannot live our life on any other credible level than love and be credible people. Love is the one value of the human race that can lead us upward and outward into a better world. Then there's no other value that even comes close to being the value of love. And that's why I'm here unpacking, sorting out, filing into, untangling our thoughts from misinterpretations of love. Oftentimes people will they kind of fuss back at me just a tiny bit or push back. And when I realize that they're pushing back on the subject of love, I realize that we're all working on tangled understandings of love rather than a pure and genuine understanding of love. So today I want to talk to you about the three levels of imagining love. Imagining love on three levels that I believe can help us untangle misconceptions, radically undeveloped thoughts on love. But before we get there, every No BS Bishop episode, I walk you through love's creed. This is something I wrote about a decade ago, just for my own sake, really. I wrote it as a New Year's resolution, and I rewrote it for another New Year's resolution, and then I've edited it down to what you'll hear today. A creed, you know, those are interesting little tidbits of life, aren't they? Every church has some kind of creed, even though some churches say they don't believe in creeds. Well, then that's their creed. We have creeds, and a creed is something that we have come to believe, and we say it routinely to remind ourselves of what we have come to believe. So a creed is something that we say out loud, right? It's something we want to hear ourselves say, and we want to hear others saying it, so that we're reminded routinely in a way that keeps it fresh in our thoughts and in our lifestyle. So love's creed, something I want to offer to you today. If you'd like a copy of this, you can write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's lowercase randydeanministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy. So here it is. In total, I'll read it through completely one time through. And then, like at a wedding altar, I'll ask you to repeat after me like couples do for vows. All right? So here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. Now let me give it to you in short bursts, so you can repeat it out loud if you'd like to, and try to wrap your mind around the thoughts, and it'll fit right into what I want to talk to you today about, the three levels of imagining love, all right? So imagine these were the truths of your life as you repeat it after me, all right? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. Imagine if that was the living priority of your day-to-day walk about this earth, right? Imagine being a person who counts your days by this accounting, 4 days. Imagine being somebody who is able to say to the world, this is how I live. This is why I'm alive. This is what my purpose in this life is. And imagine then that you're fully connected to something just like this throughout all your living days. Wow. I'm saying that because this is really how I live. I'm not here on the radio day in and day out trying to convince you something that I'm not already convinced of myself. I am thoroughly convinced that this is the truth that I want to live my life by. I want my life to speak these truths that I'm alive to love. I'm not here for hate. So to that end, I want you to just get comfortable with me and let me share with you and challenge you to join me in an imagination of love. And I'm going to share it on 3 levels. To imagine and kind of get dreamy about it. Later this month, I have a speaking engagement that I'll be sharing on the subject of hope. Hope. What a profound principle of life. And I'm going to challenge the folks that I'll be speaking to there to get your hopes up. I know. That's the opposite of what we're told. Don't get your hopes up now. we're told that often. Isn't it sad? Don't get your hopes up. When in reality, hope is one of those valuable human commodities. I have to get my hopes up. I can't live without some level of hope. And yet we're hope weary, I think, in some cases. And so we need a refresher. Get your hopes up. So my subject later this month will be hope up. Well, so I want to challenge you. Imagine to get your love on, to have your love real, to have your love active. And on 3 levels, I want you to imagine love in these 3 ways. First of all, imagine how creative your thoughts would be if your thoughts were filled with a steady stream of love. If your internal world is filled with a certain quality, your external world will eventually live that out. Your internal realities will become your external realities given time. And this is why the great prophets of every religion, including faith, the faith of Christianity that I'm part of, challenges us. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Get those wearisome thoughts out of the inside and get them upon God. It teaches us in Psalm 1 to meditate on the Lord, that you will make your way prosperous. It doesn't mean that meditation is like dropping coins in a one-armed bandit, that you're going to get a reward. No, it means that your internal reality, what you meditate on inside you, is going to become your outside reality if that's all you live with. So imagine, our imagination is our internal world. And I want to challenge you today to imagine 3 levels. First of all, imagine how creative your thinking would be if it was filled with a steady stream of love. A steady stream of love for your children, your spouse, your immediate circumference of relationships. Imagine your world being internally created with love so that your thoughts are on love only. That's why I think love's creed is so huge. It's so important. I wrote a poem on this regard about how where love lives inside of me. Listen to this poem. To that part of me where love lives, to the serenity of what love gives, with my prayer alive to love and my soul moving with love, I am shaped, I am still, I am loved, I love, and I find my will. Those thoughts are about this imagination internally of love, a steady stream of love inside. Second of all, second level of imagination of love, I want you to be challenged to imagine how different your life would be if we gave as much attention to the love of God as we do to the hate and ignorance of people. Oh my, right? We are often, I'm as guilty as anybody. We are often staring at a little screen, a news screen, or listening to a computer, our phones, or some device where we're listening to the hate and the ignorance of people. We're listening to their rejection, to their anger, and our minds get filled with the negativity of a wide world around us. But I'm here to offer you a different way to live. Imagine how different your life would be if you were to give as much attention to the genius of God's love as we do to the ignorance and the hate of external realities and people's voices. Wow. So that imagine if somehow you could arrange your world so that everything coming into your internal world was about the genius of God's love, the genius of how God's love would solve this and cure that, or challenge this loss, or recreate the world in another way. Listen. The Bible is about that. There are stories in there that are about the other kinds of harsh realities, but those harsh realities are not the thrust of the Bible. The harsh realities the Bible talks about are to make us aware that we're all living in this blue canoe called Earth, floating through the stream of the universe. We've all been walking through the harsh realities of the Earth, but the Bible's ultimate point is to challenge us to imagine a different world. You know, the book of Revelation is about imagining a world where the city of God is coming down from heaven to earth, recreating everything, and it's recreating everything after the image of God. And the image of God is what? Love, capital L, L-O-V-E. The love of God is what wins the day. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 challenges us to believe love never fails. 1 John chapter 4 says, perfect love casts out, displaces, throws aside, it removes fear. You see, the opposite of hate isn't necessarily love. Excuse me, the opposite of love isn't necessarily hate. I said that backwards. The opposite of love is fear. When we live full of fear, we're again, our internal world is being driven by rejection and madness and sadness that's been done to us from the external world. But our internal world can change when we meditate or imagine. And I said, first of all, imagine how creative your thoughts would be if they were filled with a steady stream of the love of God. And then second of all, now I'm talking about imagine how different our life would be if we gave as much attention to the genius of God's love as we do to the ignorance and hate of people. Imagine that. And number three, imagine how much happier. Ooh-wee. Imagine how much happier you would be if you were to come to believe like a kid in a delightful, loving God of an outrageous generosity and authentic, sincere love. Imagine getting to be a kid again. And like my poem said, to that part of me where love lives, to the serenity of what love gives. With my prayer alive to love and my soul moving with love, I am shaped, I am still, I am loved, I love, and I find my will. Imagine how much happier you would be if you were to come to believe like a child in the delightful God of outrageous generosity and authentic love. That kind of world doesn't just automatically come to us. I know that's true, but it comes as each one of us change the station, change the receptivity inside of us. We're every one of us. We're like a cell phone with a receiver from the satellites. A more simple form of looking at it is like this radio station, WPCA, while it broadcasts through satellite and onto the internet, it's also broadcast off of a simple antenna, where that antenna shoots a signal to radio stations, to radios who are tuned to that station. So imagine tuning your personal station, your personal radio, to the station of love. And just like a kid, letting only those thoughts of love come in there. And to imagine a delightful God. As a kid, imagine a good God, a generosity-filled God, an authentically loving, a sincerely beautiful God. Imagine how much happier you and I would be. My, my, my. I've told here on a few occasions my formative years as a kid in North Milwaukee. I grew up in the north side of Milwaukee in a very small apartment. And not an apartment that was originally built to be an apartment, but a house that had been cordoned off into four quarters. You know, so my brother, my wife, excuse me, not my wife, my brother, my mom, and my dad and I, we were in one of the quarters of this house that had been converted into an apartment. Very small, very compact. And so when there were wrong things happening in any part of the square inches of that little apartment, every one of us was affected. I've often told people it's like growing up in a petri dish. A petri dish is what doctors and laboratory specialists use to develop something as they add a little of this and a little of that to a small little cup, and they seal it up. Something starts growing in there, right? Well, what grew in me was a lot of dysfunction, codependency. I was surrounded by dysfunction of drugs and alcohol. I was surrounded by violence between my brother and my dad. And all of that to be said, I had to create a world separate of that to just survive. Now, along the way somewhere, my mother, who had a sister and a brother-in-law who lived in Southern Illinois, they had the good sense to know that I needed out of some of that misery as often as I could get out of it. So they arranged to put me on a train in Milwaukee. I would get on an Amtrak train, and I'd travel to Centralia, Illinois, down in Southern Illinois. And oftentimes, I would spend a summer, or at least a portion of a summer, with my aunt and uncle, Aunt Lorraine and Uncle Charles. Well, that wasn't perfect, because humans aren't perfect. But I will tell you this, Uncle Charles taught me how to fish. He taught me how to put a cane pole in a creek or in a pond or a lake. He taught me how to catch bluegills. And I absolutely loved putting a worm on a hook and dropping that bobber in the water and waiting for the nibble of a fish on that hook. It took me out of the pain that was so routine as a kid growing up in North Milwaukee, and it took me into the serenity and the beauty of being outside and enjoying a small respite, a small retreat away from the dysfunction of drugs and alcohol. I'm telling you that we, each one of us, need a Southern Illinois retreat. Each one of us, maybe you're not going to get on a train and travel from Milwaukee to Centralia, but you can. We, every one of us, can imagine. We all have an imagination inside of us. Imagine how much happier we would be if we were to come to believe, just like that kid I was, standing by a pond side with a cane pole. I never had any fishing equipment, just a simple cane pole with a bobber on the end of the fishing string. Imagine like a kid and a delightful God of outrageous generosity and authentic love. Just imagine how much different our internal world would be if we came to believe that, imagining that. So today I'm talking about three levels of imagining love. First of all, imagine how creative your thoughts would be if they were to be filled with a steady stream of gratitude and love. Imagine how creative your thinking could be if love was the center. Number two, Imagine how different your life would be if we were to give as much attention to the genius of the love of God as we do to the ignorance and hate of people. See, that our internal world gets to be a sponge just soaking up ignorance and hate. But that internal world can also be a sponge doing something better. And that internal world can become a sponge soaking up love, soaking up a generously, authentically beautiful love of God. And third, imagine how much happier we could be if we came to believe, like a kid, in a delightful God of outrageous generosity and authentic love. Those three levels of imagination, I think, are possible for every one of us. It may be a challenge, and you might need to find a professional counselor to help you talk that through or walk that through or make that real. I get that. Or maybe, like in Alcoholics Anonymous, maybe you need a sponsor, somebody you can call and say, hey, talk me down from the ceiling here. I'm as wound up as a 90-day wind-up clock, and I need to relax. I need my internal world to chill out. So having this kind of levels of imagination, it's not easy, but it is simple. And the simplicity may be about just asking somebody to hold you accountable to those three levels. Imagining this. Now, hear me carefully. I understand how life can get brutal. Life can get really, really harsh. I'm walking through some stuff right now, my wife and I both, and it's tough. It's not easy. It's not a simple walk in the park. It's not just, you know, walking along with a lollipop, licking the lollipop and singing a happy song. No. That's not everyday life. Everyday life can get right down and brutal. But trust me when I say, no matter how brutal life can be, we can change the brutality of life by changing our internal world, our internal life, with a healthier imagination. It takes practice. I'm convinced that here's a way to look at it too. And if you see a musician on a stage and they're playing an instrument, or perhaps they're singing, and you think, wow, what a natural gift. How easy it must be for them to just get up on stage and do that. And that could not be any further from the truth. Any musician who's worth listening to on a stage has spent 90% of their musical life in private, in their internal world, imagining a song, imagining the steps of getting to a song, imagining how they could improve their musical skills or their vocal skills. 90% of any talented person who would perform on a stage, 90% of what they're doing is in private. It's in their internal world. So I'm very aware of what comes out of me is what I've been putting in there. So if I can imagine love, if I can imagine creative thoughts through love, if I can imagine how my life would change if I gave more attention to the genius of God's love than I do to the hate of people, if I can imagine how much happier I would be if I was like a child believing in a loving, delightful God. See, that now I'm turning the corner. Well, go back to what I said earlier. I'm changing the radio receiver. I'm changing the station. It's not going to happen all in one day, but it does happen little by little. Well, every No BS Bishop, we practice two little practices, right? To change our internal world and that part where love lives in us. And the first thing I like to close with is just practicing how to breathe well. Slow your life down and breathe simply, okay? And on the count of three, I'm going to challenge you to take in as deep a breath as you can to the bottom of your lungs and hold it there for 1 second, and then exhale, all right? It'll slow you down, lower your blood pressure, and gain your attention so you can change your internal world. Here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it right there. And exhale. I've said many, many, many times if you could do that every day, so, you know, just for a few minutes at a time, and challenge yourself to change your receptivity to a point of peace and serenity by just breathing. Shut off the outside distractions and turn on the internal world of love. Now, the second thing is a little more challenging, really. It's something that I'm known for far and wide, and that is I tell people everywhere I go to learn how to say the three most holy, charmed, magical words in the human language, and those three words are, I love you. To say it slowly, intentionally, authentically, and here's the kicker, say it with eye contact. Now, I know it feels weird and awkward because we're not used to doing it, but I think we should get used to doing it. And yes, I know it can be a little weird, especially with somebody that you shouldn't be saying it to in an inappropriate way. But I'm convinced most of you are going to say it in the most appropriate manner. To find somebody, especially a child, get their attention, slow your words down, get eye contact, and say these holy, magical, charmed words. I love you. I promise you, it'll change you as much as it may change somebody else. It'll help them readjust their imagination, help you adjust your imagination to see how life can be about love. To imagine how much happier I could be and others could be if we adjusted our priority to the high credibility, to the high value of love, recognizing all other values are potential BS. And that's why I'm the No BS Bishop, folks. Here again for an episode of I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. Now go out there today and do something beautiful. Ugly is getting done to death. It is being repeated and repeated in such a way that hate and anger is becoming an internal reality for far too many people. Imagine, would you? Imagine how our world would change if internally we were dreaming of love and making love our only priority. God bless you. I love you. Happy trails, you all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.